Morning, everyone. Man, I wish we could just say the name of the movie, Katie. Can't do that, but I've been drinking lots of water. I like to drink water before I preach. That's all I got. But we can't tell you the name of the movie. Yeah. Let's just go ahead and say so what and just wrap it up, all right? Hey, if you're here for the first time, welcome. Welcome to The Shift. My name is Brad. Tim Thomas is going to come up here in a minute. Tim and I are going to be tag team teaching. Tim is the downtown campus pastor. You can tell us apart because Tim has a mustache. That's the way we do it around here, okay? If you are here for the first time, we just want you to know, like, we hope you feel welcome. We hope you feel at home. If you have any questions, let us know. This morning, you're just going to kind of see what we typically do every Sunday. And so this is just kind of who we are. And so we thank you for coming out. I want to do this before we jump into things. I want to thank a few people. A bunch of people showed up yesterday and helped clean up the joint and power wash in the place. And yeah, thank you so much. Absolutely. Just investing. Love it. Thank you, thank you. Also, we have to do this. We have to recognize, how in the world did Lou Hines lead worship this morning when his tribe just expanded on Friday night and baby Noah just arrived? And so we just celebrate with the Hines. The family is increasing. Excited. How are we doing, Tim? You ready to go?
Ready to go.
Do you have your headset on?
I do.
It's buried in your mustache.
La,
got
la,
it.
La,
excellent.
La, la.
Today we're going to do this. We're going to look at the resurrection story. And as we look at the resurrection story this morning, we're going to do it through the lens of a few ladies who go to the tomb early in the morning, okay? And we know some of their names: Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, Joanna. Some other ladies, we don't necessarily know their names, okay? So we're going to do this. We're going to just kind of walk through the story through the lens of their eyes, and hopefully we'll glean some things through this. Hopefully we'll be encouraged. Hopefully there'll be some opportunities to make adjustments. And the big hope for us all is that God gets much glory in this place today, right? Oh, very cool. All right. So before we do that, let me just ask you a few questions to help center us kind of on the topic of the day, okay? First question is simply this: how was your week? Is good. If you experienced a win this past week, please make some noise.
Yeah,
yeah, excellent. If you experienced some losses this past week, please groan. Yeah, all right, very cool. We'll work through that. Spiritually, how was your week this past week? Was it like spiritual growth, or maybe your story felt a lot like Moses and the children of Israel just taking another lap around Mount Sinai? Okay, how was your week? All right, spiritually. Two more questions. What are you looking for this morning? What are you looking for this morning? Huh? Now, the last question is simply this: why are you here? Like, why are you in this place? It's Sunday morning. There's a variety of places that you could be, right? So why did you choose to come to church? And even in coming to church, like, why here? And we can just tell the truth, like, because if you were drug here, that's awesome. We'll still take you, man, all right? And whoever drug you here, like, I'm gonna like, give you a kickback later on, and we'll just, like, point out some other people to keep dragging here. So that's awesome. We got a long list. You were on the hit list, people, all right? Just choking. Just tell me to shut up, okay? Like, help me to get off stage, right? Okay, there we go. So that's it. This morning we're going to do this. We're going to stand for the reading of God's word. Alan Mom comes this morning to read from God's word. The text will be on the screen. Remember, after we read the text, what we do is we go into a time of observation. And in observations, we just kind of just share what we've seen. So go ahead and stand with me. And Alan, would you lead us in the reading of God's word this morning?
We'll be reading from Luke 24, 1 through 10. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word this morning. In your word, God, we are inspired. My prayer this morning is that your word would come alive. My prayer this morning is that we would position ourselves under the authority of your word. My prayer this morning is, God, that you would radically change, transform, inspire our hearts and lives. God, I pray for Tim and myself this morning as we navigate us as a community of faith, as a family, through your text, that God, we would do honor to your text, that we would preach it according to your text as with one voice, I pray, Father. So get much glory in Jesus' name. Everybody said?
Amen.
You can have a seat. All right, so before we jump in, let's do this. Observations. This is your time to just shout out wherever you're sitting, just shout out some things that you saw or that you observed through the text. What'd you see?
The women expected him to still be dead.
The women expected him to still be dead. Okay, what else?
Dazzling
something. What'd you got?
Dazzling apparel.
Dazzling apparel, yeah. So we got a couple guys. They've got some insider information, all right? They're in dazzling apparel. We do this. We take those two elements, and we say, oh, angels, okay? So we make some conclusions according to that. Somebody else over here was yelling something. I'm deaf from rock and roll. What do we got?
The stone was rolled away.
Stone was rolled away. What else do we got? Remember the promise of Jesus. What was the promise of Jesus, everybody? Nobody said it yet. What was the promise of Jesus? He's risen, right? That's a pretty good observation we kind of need to hit. Any others?
They had already been told that previously.
Already been told it previously. Thank you, Chuck. We're going to talk about that this morning. Maybe one or two more. Anybody?
Women were the first to know.
Great. And somebody else? Yeah, hold on, just time out. Ladies are just like, told you so, right? And so, it's awesome. I'm getting off the stage, Tim, okay? There's last one over here. Somebody said something.
The disciples were mourning,
yeah. Or the disciples were sleeping in the morning. The ladies got up early, right? That's what's going on. Okay, two parts this morning. Tim, why don't you get us started? Part one.
So my dad was here this morning, and he was able to read the word for us, and he totally threw me under the bus. He read that. He read the verses, and he said, well, this is not describing my son. My son doesn't get up early in the morning. He's the one that would have been sleeping in, so thanks, Dad. So here's the deal. Culture's path of life, where does it lead? It leads us to, according to this text, it really leads us to the tomb, doesn't it? It leads us to the tomb. The way the world works, the way the world operates, the way we do things in a secular kind of a setting and context doesn't lead us to life. It leads us to the tomb. And that's really what was happening with Mary that morning when she was on her way out to the tomb. She was just doing what she was supposed to do, right? Her Messiah, her Christ, had been killed. She was disappointed. And she was just following cultural norms. This is what she's supposed to do. They're supposed to take the spices and they go and they anoint the body. And that's what she was looking for, wasn't it? She wasn't looking for Jesus walking around. She was looking for the body of Jesus. I've been married for 21 years. Thank you. My wife is the best thing that's ever happened to me. When we, besides Jesus, when we were first married, just like many of you, right? The kind of the dream of life that we are going to get married, we're going to be in love with each other, and we're going to conquer the world in ministry, and along the way, we are going to have children and experience life like we're supposed to experience life, right? Isn't that kind of the norm? Isn't that kind of what's expected? And so we get married, and we go to ministry, and we youth pastored for a lot of years after we got married as a team. And kids didn't come. That was 1996. And so a year goes by, a couple years go by, and we wonder what's going on. And okay, well, maybe we'll pray a little harder, right? Maybe we'll ask a little more. And another year goes by, and another year goes by, and another year goes by. And pretty soon, you get a little bit frustrated and you get a little bit jaded. And you start to question the Lord. What's going on? Why? When? Where? What? Where? How? We were living in Hoonah, Alaska, which is 40 air miles west of Juneau. And we had a friend of ours come up to help us train some kids workers, some kids ministry stuff, and do a big kind of outreach and start a kids ministry there at our church in Hoonah. And so she came up and she was awesome. She's still awesome. She's battling cancer, but she is awesome. And she came up and did a big training for us, and she was sitting with us one night eating dinner, and she said, God gave me a dream about you. And we had years and years before that talked to her and shared with her how much we wanted to have kids, because she even knew me before we got married. So she had been praying this whole time for us to have children. And she said, hey, I had a dream about you. I said, you did? She's like, yeah. She said, I had a dream. She said, we were at some high school. I don't know what high school it was, just a high school. And it was graduation day. Right, Brent? It's a fun day, man. That's pandemonium, right? Chaos. Graduation day, and we were all there, and there's always a time after graduation's over where everybody goes outside and everybody's just hanging around taking pictures for 4 hours, right? So this was the time where she had her dream. And so we were out there, and she said, I saw you and Tanya, and I saw your daughter. Like, what? She was graduating. She said, I didn't see what she looked like. I didn't see anything. I just saw you guys, and you had a daughter graduating, and I was just overwhelmed. No kid yet, no pregnancy yet, nothing yet. But all of a sudden, I had promise, right? I began to have a little bit of expectancy as I began to expect God to do what God's going to promise us to do. It was amazing. And first service, Macy was sitting right back here, right behind where Lou's sitting there. And Macy was here, and I pointed her out, and she's beautiful. She's almost 11 years old now. It took us 10 years before we had our first child. 10 years before this promise actually happened. And I'm telling you this, when my wife got pregnant with Macy, it wasn't until she was just about born that I started to think, this is really going to happen. Like, oh my gosh, this is happening and all kinds of other things are happening. And I woke up, I remember one day I said to Tanya, I was like, I think this is actually going to happen. I think we're actually going to have a baby. And she's like, I know. That's crazy. She knew much better than I did. But here's the deal. As we were looking to have a child, I wasn't looking for the living among the dead. I was just, okay, maybe, maybe not. I kind of got to the point where I was like, maybe we're not going to have kids. Okay, cool, fine. Because we had a number of miscarriages. And that's really disappointing. That's really heartbreaking. And so it wears on you, and you start to lose the promise of the Lord. Man, when Mary showed up at the tomb that day, she was just showing up to anoint the body. She wasn't showing up to find the resurrected Jesus that was running around in white garments, right? She wasn't showing up to worship him. She was showing up to do her job with sorrow in her heart. He was dead. It had been confirmed by her, by all those that witnessed, and even by the soldier that speared him in the side, that he was dead and he was buried. And the stone was rolled in front of the tomb, and it was over. The story, in their estimation, may have been coming to an end right now. This is it. Dark days. But what did they know? Did they have any inkling that maybe there was gonna be a resurrection? Did they have an idea that someone had actually told them before, maybe straight from the mouth of the Lord, that I'm going to be killed, but I'm going to rise again on the third day? Yeah, but they weren't looking for the living among the dead. In our lives today, in this culture that we live in, that leads us to the tomb, that doesn't lead us to life, what is it that stands in our way? What are we looking for? What are we looking for when we come to church? When we gather in this place, this is capacity crowd this morning. What are we looking for when we show up? Are we looking for the typical? Are we looking for, okay, we're going to show up on Easter morning because it's Easter morning. We're going to show up at church because my kids like going to Shift Kids and it's fun. Are we going to show up on Sunday morning because I want to shake Pastor Brad's hand and talk about motorcycles? Okay, all of those things are wonderful. Those are fun things. Those are appreciated things and we enjoy those things. But are those the things, is that the reason that we show up for church? Why do I carry this coffee around with me all the time? Is that the reason we're here? Or is the reason we're here to find the living God? To find God that heals and saves, calls us, that inspires our very life and breath, that is the reason we even exist? Are we really coming to find the real Jesus? Mary wasn't looking for the real Jesus. She was looking for the dead Jesus. And she got a big, big, big jolt when she shows up and these angels say to her, he's risen. And then he meets her. It's an amazing picture. I want to be attentive and I want to be watching. And I want to look for and find the real Jesus. I can't hear you, Lord, because I have a motorcycle in my ear. I'm sorry, Brad. I'm sorry. Lord, I can't hear you or see you because I have a vacation in my ear. Or I have this in my ear. What's your thing? Whatever your thing is. I have a race car in my ear. Uh-oh. I have a house in my ear. I have kids in my ear. I have my job in my ear. And these things stand in the way of us really finding who he really is. My challenge to us today, man, as Brad comes up and further expounds, man, Jesus is here, the real Jesus, the real risen Jesus, the real Jesus that paid everything. He's here to change our lives today. Amen?
Nailed it.
Come on.
So Tim's talking about first path of life, culture's path of life. It leads to a tomb. The key question that Tim was talking about is this: are you looking for the right thing? That's what we've been talking about. Now, I want to turn the corner and recognize this, that Jesus's path from the tomb leads to life. Jesus's path from the tomb leads to life. And the key question that we're going to be talking about here is, am I looking in the right place? Am I looking in the right place, okay? Let's go back to the text. As the women approach the tomb of Jesus, they are met by two angels, okay? And the first thing that the angels do for these ladies is the angels expose their blind spot. Their blind spot. You know we all have blind spots, right? Right? You recognize that? One of the greatest gifts that I think I was given here at the Shift in leadership was this. It was an opportunity when we were first planting for some elders to get away and go to the coast. And we had our first elder retreat. And at that elder retreat, it turned into some scary stuff pretty fast. Like we started going deep and we put one person in the middle of the room in this living room that we're at, put them in the middle of the room in a chair. And the other guys did this, started exposing that person's blind spots to them. Yeah, it was painful. Scott, you take too many pulls. Neil, start speaking something other than Southern, right? Brad, you're not funny. Right? And so I had some guys do this. Guys that I love and guys that I trusted start saying, Brad, you know, when you do this or when you say that or when you act like that, you think you're really clever, you think you're funny, but we're all cringing. Stop doing that. Exposing my blind spots. At the same time, they were saying, however, but when you do this and you posture yourself this way and you act this way, it is so powerful and you aren't even aware of how powerful that is. Keep doing that. We've all got blind spots. My prayer is that you would have a friend that would love you enough, that you would trust enough, that would be willing enough, courageous enough to speak into your life and to expose your blind spots. Well, these ladies, they had a blind spot. The angels say to the lady, like, here's a clear picture of what you're doing, okay? Here's your blind spot. You came to a tomb to honor someone. You came to a tomb as part of your mourning process out of love for Jesus. You came to mourn and to honor a dead person. There's your blind spot. Dude ain't dead. Jesus is alive. Now process this with me. First off, they go to the tomb and they're met by two angels. Time out. What's that look like and feel like? Anybody had any conversations with two glowing angels? Right? And then on top of it, the angels tell you the person you just saw crucified, stabbed in the side, right? Blood and water flow. You know he's dead. You saw him buried. They say, no, he ain't dead. Like, how do you process that? Like, what do you do with that? Well, here's the beautiful thing. Here's the gift of grace, is these angels actually begin to lead them down a path of navigating it, understanding it. The angels say, do this. We want you to do one thing. We want you to remember. We want you to remember. There's some information filed away in your brain. Maybe you didn't understand it at the time, but it's key information. And so we want you to remember that. And so actually what we're going to do is we're going to get you started, ladies. Remember that one time you were in Galilee? Yeah, I remember that one time we were in Galilee. And Jesus said this. He said that like sinful men would arrest him. You remember that? Do you remember that Jesus himself said, hey, they're going to crucify me. I'm going to be killed. Do you remember Jesus saying that? And what did Jesus say? He said 3 days afterwards, he would rise from the dead. Now, here's what I want you to do, ladies. Mary, Joanna, group of ladies, get out your iPhones. Pull out your iCal app, all right? What day did Jesus die? Can you count to three? One, two, three. Do the math. Is any of this looking familiar, ladies? That's what's going on. Angels say, you're looking for the wrong thing. You're looking for a dead person. And you're looking in the wrong place. And by the way, let's just tell the truth this morning. Let's take the mask off. Isn't that our story? Isn't that our story? Oftentimes, we're searching for life in all the wrong avenues. We're looking for life in all the wrong places. I'd love to break into a country song right now. The reality is, like, I don't even have to do this. This morning, I don't even have to expose those avenues that you go to looking for life. And when you get there, you're not finding more life. You're finding what? Guilt and shame and sadness and darkness. Not more life, but less life. Like, those paths for some of us, like, stupid is as stupid does. Those are well-worn paths for some of us, aren't they? Let's tell the truth. And we go there looking for life. And we go there looking for hope. And what do we find? Well, in some ways, it's the same story. We find a tomb. We find a grave. And we find some emotional and spiritual death in our lives. Right. The key question that we are asking in the text right now is this. Am I looking in the right place? And let's tell the truth. Often, even as believers, we aren't looking in the right place. So the call for us, I would say this morning, as a church, as we step into the text, as we attempt to experience what's in the text, the promises of the text, the call for us is the same thing as it was for these ladies. The call for us is to remember, remember, remember this. Remember that the path of life isn't to a tomb. The path of life is from a tomb. Remember that when God created you, he created you with a desire and a bent and a longing to experience life, to want life, to seek out life. To remember this, that there is a path to life, and it's clearly marked with drops of blood. To remember that it's not traveled by all, but it's this, it's available to all. To remember that the path has been marked by Jesus. He's gone before us. And as he's gone before us, at times Jesus has done this. He's built bridges so we don't fall off and we're not carried away, dragged away by the current of life. To remember that times Jesus has made some handholds for us, right? To help us out in those seasons of climbing. To remember this, not a huge highway, but it's a path. And this path is wide enough that a brother can walk side by side with you. You're not going it alone. And to remember that times God has done this, he's made safe environments along the journey for you to rest, to be encouraged, to receive some nourishment, some fun. Can we have some fun along the journey? Please, God. That scared me. It's to remember this, that there's a guarantee written in blood that life is found in the path from the tomb, not to the tomb. That's the guarantee for you and I. Again, where does the path start? We go back to an empty tomb. It's the moment that the light switches on for you and I. Well, we recognize, listen, we recognize we don't worship a martyr. Like, tomb's empty, no bones, no rotten flesh, right? We don't worship a martyr. It's when the light switch goes on and says, oh my gosh, Jesus is the Messiah. He's the Christ. He is alive. Jesus is God. Jesus is the source of my great hope. It's that moment of belief. That's where the path starts. I call you, I call me, us as a community of faith, us as a family this morning is to just simply remember Jesus' words. Like Jesus, listen, he wasn't just speaking to those ladies in Galilee, we got his words. He's speaking to you and I too, right? When Jesus says, listen, thief, the enemy, that snake comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy? But I came to what? Give you life, and how much life? Oh, I want some of that. That sounds like the path of life to me, right? Remember the words of Jesus when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father, how? Except through me. Remember the words of Jesus when Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. And the same question rings true to you and I. Do you believe this? Yes. Jesus' path from the tomb, it leads to life. And if God is the God of the living, my question to you is this. Does that make him your God? Are you alive? Are you experiencing some life? Let me wrap up with this. What's the result of these ladies remembering? Their path changed. They were no longer hanging out in Death Valley. They were on a different path. A path away from an empty tomb. And their minds were now blown. They're on the path of life. And think about this. Think about the way they walked there and the way they were leaving. Walking heads low, feet dragging. And Matthew tells us when they left there, they were running. Yeah. Like words now are different words that are placed in their mouth before. Remembering the death of Jesus, sharing sadness, and now they're on the path from the tomb. And words of life, gospel rich words of hope. So what? How do we apply this to our life? I'm going to ask Tim to come back, and I'm going to ask the worship team at this time to come as well.
So this is good news. Easter is all about good news, isn't it? That he is risen, that he is not dead anymore. Here's God's challenge to me and to us this morning is, you know, the two questions that we've been talking about. Are you looking for the right thing? What are we looking for? There's three things I want to just key on. The real Savior. The real Jesus. Not the Jesus I've made up. Not the Jesus that I've heard about necessarily, but the real deal. There is a real God that lives in a real place that really, really loves you and really, really wants to know you. Really, really wants to help you. Really, really wants to call you. A true relationship, not just, dear Lord, bless my day in Jesus' name, bless my food in Jesus' name. Those are good things. Those are good things to pray about. Man, true relationship with him. Actual conversations with the God of the universe that he longs to have with us. That's the right thing. And lastly, my true identity in him. Who am I? Why do I even show up in this building, as Brad alluded to earlier? What am I even doing here? Is it just tradition? Or am I really seeking the real God of heaven? Am I really putting myself in a place where I'm really after the reality of who he is in my life? Who am I in him? And all of that is found in a relationship with Jesus of Nazareth that was crucified, dead, buried, stone rolled in front. And on the third day, today, this morning, is when we celebrate his risen. He's risen for you and he's risen for me. We're going to respond to the Lord. And I encourage you to respond to the Lord in those areas. Are you my real Savior? Am I looking for the real Jesus? Do I have a relationship with the real God of heaven? And who am I in him? Am I following culture's path to the tomb, or am I following his path from the tomb? Powerful question. We're going to open up communion. We're going to open up the boards. What's on the boards? Feel free to express your heart on those boards. And we're also going to open up the prayer. We have a prayer sign over here and a prayer sign back here. And we're going to have some of our helpers and people here that are going to be in those two places to pray with you if you need prayer this morning. And Lou's going to lead us in some worship. So let's respond to the Lord this morning. Amen.
This morning, we're going to do this as we continue to worship. We're going to have a public profession of faith and baptism. I'm going to ask Juanita to come up here. And this section over here, we need Juanita, will you come up here with me? This section, I'm just going to ask you maybe just stand, just kind of pause, stand to the side here a little bit, because we're going to get somebody wet right now. All right? Everybody, this is our sister in Christ. This is Juanita. And we're about ready to baptize her. Juanita, why would you like to be baptized?
I've been on a long road, and I just love God.
Love it. So baptism is this. Baptism is this public profession of faith. Just letting everybody know, hey, I want y'all to know, like, I believe, like, I've started the path from the empty tomb. I believe in Jesus. And so it's symbolic, though. It's symbolic of going under the water and your death. Death to your past and your new life in Jesus. So let's make our way down over here. And I'm going to be yelling rather than using this microphone.